While the water's rising, they tell me it's all right there on the TV. Islands are disappearing. Everything unwinds, but you I
We are coming to you live from WMFO 91.5 Anything Is Possible radio show, where we discuss incredible topics. Topics ranging from philosophy, culture, you know, general shenanigans.
Current events,
definitely. Anyway, we're just here to hang out for a bit, you know, maybe play a couple tunes in the middle. Talk about pressing issues that left unlistened to would cause mass ignorance and issues for the general American populace. So, yeah. Jackson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Gregoire. Happy to be on the show. Happy to provide some insight.
Dude, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on the show. McD?
Dude, I almost missed the show. This kid came into my room at 15 minutes before we were supposed to start. I was in my underwear trying to rearrange my room. I guess I was under the false impression my bed would fit lengthwise in my room. And I really took the commit and moved everything around and ended up with just the metal taken apart, just box spring of my bed, just wedged by two corners, suspended in midair, and like just physically couldn't get it down.
Tufts housing on suicide watch right now, man. I mean, that's a horror story.
Yeah, man. White number four.
Anyway.
Shouts, Sherman. Is it William Sherman?
William Sherman.
It's the second one, Sherman William.
Sherman William. Anyway, today we've got pressing topics inspired by Matt McDermott and his ever-thinking brain. We are gonna see what's inside of it.
Dude, so I was thinking the other day, like the biggest difference between being a kid now and being a kid like 5 or 10 years ago is
right.
I tell a lot of dumb jokes, and most of the time people don't laugh. But some of the times when people don't laugh, it's not because it's not funny, it's because they don't get the reference.
Right on.
And when I was like little and you tell a joke and it's not like they don't get the reference, it was on you for telling a dumb joke. But like now, since everyone has smartphones and stuff, you're like expected to get every joke. And so if I tell a joke that you don't get, you're the one who doesn't know what's going on, and you're the idiot. And it's like,
that is so true.
That is absolutely true.
I hear a joke and I don't understand the reference, and I'm like, oh no, make sure they don't find out, because
I'm secretly an idiot.
I'm secretly have no idea. I'm super dumb. And Yeah, and they're going to find out, and they're going to feel bad because their joke landed flat because they didn't know what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, they threw that quick Google in.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Memes, bro. If you don't, if you're not on the current meme trend, what do you know?
Yeah, man, I agree. What do you know?
It's like, I always think being like a memester right now is like, it's like, what was the word? There was like, in the 30s, there were like people who were like flappers, and there were like, there's like all these different names for people that was like.
Every successive generation
Has a different word for like people who are like into something cool.
Yeah. It's like the silent generation, like the Beats, the 60s, the whole counterculture.
Yeah.
Now you're saying it's meme gods.
Yeah, dude.
Meme gods.
That's what I'm saying.
Meme gods go hand in hand with all the counterculture people today, you know?
Yeah.
You can go on the internet, you can find like obscure memes. Meme gods, you know? People who are, you know, just making memes about their lives and their activities, and it's varied, you know? It's interesting to see, you know, people reveal their lives and tastes within memes. You know, the whole country speaking the same language. You know?
That's crazy. Have you ever been on like any internet community has like its top level like differences between people, which are sometimes like pretty obvious, like between like sites or whatever, but like
right,
like if you go on any internet like discussion forum, you're gonna find this culture within it that is like very different between many like I guess subgroups. Like I actually found a couple summers ago, like everyone knows like Reddit, 4chan, Dig, like all these other things,
right? But on
I discovered there's this forum called it's called bodybuilder forums. And it's like an old, like early 2000s, like internet, like blog thing. It was like supposedly just like all for bodybuilding. And if you, like, it gets broken down, like all the main topics about like eating, lifting, sleeping, like all these things. And then there's like a miscellaneous discussion tab. Yeah. And then like within that miscellaneous discussion tab was a group of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of threads. And like this social network, which originally was just like a blog for bodybuilding, has like expanded to become this massive online community, like enormous, with people, with so
I've
many people on it.
Yeah,
who have nothing to do with like anything about bodybuilding. It's just an online group, and the creators of the site probably had no intention of doing that. But if for people at home right now, like if you pull up like search bodybuilder forums and then go into the mish or whatever, just like discussion part, you can see this crazy community. It's like wild.
It's mini Reddit.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Early adopters attract mass followings. You know, for example, YouTube. Think about like the rise of YouTube and the importance of YouTube in our culture.
Totally.
And also how it just happened to be.
Well, remember the site. Remember when viral videos? You'd see like Charlie bit my finger. Yeah. Or like Chocolate Rain guy, like those original
shouts Tezonde
viral people. I mean, right. Like what do those people do with their lives now? Because YouTubers now, they're professional YouTubers. They'll put out videos every single day. You know, that's like that PewDiePie guy, KSI, Ology, gamers, like those people, you can make millions of dollars on YouTube just streaming about your life. It's absurd.
Yeah, man, it's interesting, like, you know, the stars, like, you even compare some of these internet views to, like, viewership on TV, and it's, like, online's winning by so much in some of these cases, and it's, like, the TV is the long-lasting
more people watched the League of Legends finals than they did the World Series Game 7.
Can you believe that? Wow.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
More than 30 million people tuned in to watch a video game streamed on the internet live.
It's just like, if you're into it, it's just so hype, I guess. Yeah? It's like, it must be super fascinating. It's sort of like, these people all play, you know? And it's easier, you know, it's like very common to play video games. And like, it's common to play sports. And then, like, you'd expect people who play sports to be into the pro leagues.
The competitive side
almost
of it.
Completely, you know, like, and since, like, video games are getting, like, a bigger following than these sports, it makes so much sense that this is what's happening, you know?
Yeah. The Korean team, the best Korean team, their players are all paid over $1 million a year to professionally play a video game. It's crazy.
That's incredible. Yeah, new technologies inspire new trends. And it's also the acceptance of video games as like a big institution now, a big market, you know. It's like a new, it's sort of a new media that's like quickly caught up to some of these giants. We're talking about big topics on this radio show right now. Anything is possible. We believe that anything is truly possible, and that if you put your dreams to work, you will guarantee enormous success in your life. You just gotta go out there and take life by the horns. And you know, just make it happen, you know? All right, we're gonna play some more music. Thanks for listening.
Hoorah.
But you weren't either. Living in Ladera Heights, the Black Beverly Hills, domesticated paradise. Palm trees and pools, the water's blue. Swallow the pill, keeping it surreal. Whatever you like, whatever feels good, whatever takes your mind tonight, keeping it surreal. Not sugar free, my TV ain't HD, that's too real. Grapevine, mango, peaches and lime. Sweet life, sweet life, sweet life.
Landscape in a house.
All right. So we've been talking a little bit about sports casting, talking about sports, comparing sports. Like, what's the best sport, first of all? What's the best sport?
Soccer. Easy.
Soccer? McDee, what's the best sport?
Golf.
Golf.
The quick golf. Track and field.
Track and field. It's up there. It's up there.
James, basketball, right?
I think the best sport would be basketball. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. And a common basketball commentator, popular dude, you know, this guy's on TV.
He's on SNL. He's been on SNL.
Impersonated on SNL, yeah.
He's been impersonated on SNL.
Great person to listen to. Very entertaining to listen to, of course. This man is Stephen A. Smith. And it's incredible. It seems to be like a curse now that if Stephen A. predicts your team is going to win, your team is going to lose. Since 2008, every prediction he has made has been wrong. So yeah, who will he predict this year? Who will he, what will he do? What decision will he make? That's my question. Anyway.
Who do you pick this year?
You know, this last year, he picked the Warriors. He picked the Cavs and he picked the Warriors. And he got them both wrong.
For any of you at home wondering what the, if he was just like flipping a coin and going 50-50, he'd be 0.2%. No, it's like there's a 0.2% chance of being wrong 9 times in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1/2 to the
0.2. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
He's very bad at his job.
Anyway. The instrumental is brought to you by an artist known as Knowledge. It's like spelled like knowledge except for the O is replaced with an X, yes.
And all the song names are like really weird. They're
no worries.
Syntax.
They're all like 1 minute long. It's definitely a top tier record to listen to while studying. If you're looking for studying tips, you can just hit all the records all at once over the course of a day. If you're like me and you like to put your work off till the last second, the last possible day, and then you just have to do it all day, it's good to just crush, you know, instrumental albums. Listen to them all the way. Listen to an artist, all another artist albums, all of their albums, and then just, you know, feel good about yourself and have a good time. Jerf, what are your thoughts on music while studying? What do you do when you study?
I agree with you. Big fan of instrumental music while studying. Knowledge in particular, pretty good. I guess depends, really. Depends on if I'm starting up the assignment. Sometimes I need a little silence just to get
focused.
Oh,
I feel that.
But then, like, once I'm grinding, can definitely just bump music and work.
The rhythm.
Totally.
It's all about making studying an experience that is comparable to something that's not bad.
Yeah, studying should be pretty fun.
A fun experience.
Yeah. Information is cool.
I like learning. I'm slightly academically interested, you know? I'm about, you know, learning. I like it. But unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of small assignments that like you have every day. I'm not a big fan of like busy work.
Language classes.
I'm not a big fan of doing something that I, you know, don't feel like I need to do. But, you know, ultimately, you got to practice stuff. If you want to learn anything, you have to practice it a lot. That's why the idea of some of these tests is flawed, because you can study it quickly, put in your short-term memory, not practice anything, minimize the time you use to study for the class, for the test.
It's like that state capitals quiz probably everyone's taken in like sixth grade or something.
Oh yeah, man. It's just like you learn it real quick, you get it going for a couple days, you repeat it to yourself, you study the hour before, you know. When you're studying the hour before, you know, like I do most tests, admittedly, I mean, are you really like confident that you've studied enough? You know what I mean? I feel like I wouldn't be studying the hour before. Maybe just looking over stuff.
They always say the best way to know if you actually know something about any subject is to explain it how you'd explain it to a 5-year-old. So you just don't use like big terms, you know.
Oh my gosh, yes.
If you had asked me, I took econ in high school and I hated it so much. But if you had asked me what any of the graphs meant, I would just know, you know, that goes there. You know, this is the quantifying point, whatever.
Yeah, man.
If I was told to explain that, I would have failed that class. But classes, school is such that you can cut corners sometimes and still get the right answer and get credited with as if you knew the right answer for the right reason.
Yeah, school's a game.
I can't even tell you how much I've learned
about
just for
learning.
The I don't know, just for the sake of like memorizing it to do well on the next quiz. And then like, you know, When I'm really learning something and building on it, I feel like I'm just like, I feel like I took the limitless pill. Have you seen that movie?
Yep.
A man takes a pill and becomes a genius. Is that theoretically possible? Is that theoretically possible to do, to make a limitless pill?
No. The idea in Limitless was that you only access like 10% of your brain, but that's just not true.
Right, right, right.
That's crazy.
How much do we actually? Well,
who would know? Who would believe you only use 10% of your brain?
Yeah, I don't know. That's like a weird myth.
It's a really highly perpetuated. Yeah.
There's so many highly perpetuated myths. You know, isn't that amazing?
It's crazy. 10% of your brain, like, then you could have someone who uses it and be like way smart. Like, it doesn't make sense. Somebody by now would have figured out how to use it.
Evolution would never have allowed us to only use 10%. Like, our brain has just grown.
What would mean if everyone's definitely using 10% of our brain, then like, wouldn't that become the new 100? Because like, you just have this unusable thing.
Yeah, the rest would have to be like physically unusable, which would make no sense.
Like, what would an unusable brain, like, would it just...
Dude, someone probably did some study one time where they were like, this is what we determined to be, like, thinking, and the brain is responsible, 10% of the brain is responsible for it, but it's like, all of it is used, the whole brain is used.
That's wild. Who is it? Was it you or Bird who was talking about this, this one TED talk about, I never watched it, take it with a grain of salt, but you're talking about how science is like a religion and people need to... Science is the correct way of going about things, but you still have to understand that, like, science is not guaranteed to be correct. Is this ringing a bell?
I've heard this one. That's like, well, the idea of science is that it's, you know, basic things that we accept to be true and just kind of like compiling that on.
Yeah.
But the idea of science is also to question what you already know, because, you know, the status quo might be wrong. And so, like, when a new study comes out that says, you know, like, peanuts, you know, cause cardiovascular disease or some crap. Yeah. People take it, you know, as gospel. And it's like, you know, science is only as true as, you know, it is untrue. Yeah. You know, it's only what's accepted. It can be overturned. We used to think, you know, the earth or the sun gravitated around the earth, you know.
I think it is true that sometimes we make scientific advancements that disprove things that we previously thought, but that doesn't mean that relying on our current scientific knowledge isn't the right thing to do, because that is what's going to push advancement. It's different from a religion in that respect, because at any point an entire religion could be proven wrong. You know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And then they adjust. You know? They're like, oh, well, we knew it all the way.
We're just
you know, this is what we mean by this clearly false thing. You know?
Yeah, people just decide when to adjust what a religion like believes in, you know? Like, that's literally, I don't know. When like the Catholic Church adjusts its stance on something, it's like, well, hold on.
You know?
Yeah.
This is just some peeps.
Anyway, Tufts University these days, a subject of a great number of memes, and criticism.
Yeah.
It sparked debate about topics related to the university's decisions. And it's like, here's what I wonder about, you know? It's a university, it's an entity, it's a group of people. It's I don't know. And they're all employed. And that's all it is, you know? They have customers.
Are you referring to frats? What are you referring to?
I don't know. I'm just talking about like Tufts University, man. You know, it's like it's just a bunch of people working for jobs, and then a bunch of customers, and you know, hired professors.
Yeah, and people take what the university does as like, you know, like the federal government does not enforce, you know, like. It's all made up. It's a university. They pay people. We go to school here, you know?
Yeah. Different reputations and culture. Like, culture changes from university to university. They have, like, they're known for something, you know? And they just keep attracting those kinds of people. And they can perpetuate a constant cultural element.
Like a brand.
For a long time. Yeah, brand. Wow. College, man. We're on the journey to higher intelligence. Great deal of knowledge. You know, we're just riding the river towards our inevitable
heat death of the universe.
Yeah, man. And we just become very normal people that do normal jobs. You know? These years are so unique, man.
It's like, do what you want for a little while and then become an adult.
Like, I just like looking back on adolescence, you know? It's like an incredible, like, period of time phenomenon. Just how your brain changes and your personality changes constantly and stuff like that.
Yeah, I saw a study that confirmed that people who take a personality test at 16 and take one when they're 60, completely different people. I mean, that should come as obvious, but it's just amazing that, you know, you think of yourself as like a constant, and to think that at 16, you will be completely different from when you're 60.
Like, the young version of me was just another dude who became this guy, looks completely different, acts completely different. That's an interesting thought.
My oldest sister is 10 years older than I am. And she always says that she feels like a completely different person than she was in college. So she's been out for 8 years.
Out for 8 years.
You get institutionalized in college. it's just like prison. You get out and then you do, you know, in prison, the people who are repeat offenders just because they can't make it on the outside. I could graduate and gotta come back. Like I can't survive in the real world. I need to go back in this closed environment.
It's like
the dude from Shawshank.
I could go to grad school, or like you'll still see me like in Anderson, like carving my name in the beam, like Matt was here.
That's so funny.
You're like, I'm not ready for the real world. And I'll keep getting these degrees. They'll just pile up, you know? And then, like, times have changed so much, like, they don't need, like, people with, like, triple, quadruple PhDs. And what do you do?
Okay,
you die with a bundle of degrees.
Yeah, man. A degree is a funny thing. It's like I hold this. This is part of me now. I absorb the education. I come out a new job applicant.
The title change always gets me. Like at what point do I stop being Matt, and then do I start being Mr. McDermott? I've never heard anyone call me Mr. McDermott before.
Yeah, man.
But like sometime it's gonna happen to all of us. Someone's gonna be you. Hi, Mr. I don't know, meme. That's so weird to me.
Mr. Meme. That's my dad. That's not me, man.
Yeah, right.
My dad's Mr. Meme.
When everyone, like, when you see people be like, oh, Mr. Meme was my father, be like, no, that's like, that probably sounds weird to them. Even if they're like in their 30s, that's like, when someone wants to see Mr. McDermott, they're talking about my dad, you know?
It's kind of funny, though, if you already go by your last name, then it doesn't change by quite as much.
Yeah.
So, well, Mr. Jerf.
How do you talk
than Jerf?
If you're going to marry a girl, like, do you, like, say she is, like, a dumb... Say, like, what do you do? If, you, like, just... It's like, if they don't want to change their last name, is it, like...
Hyphenate.
That's really unsustainable, dude.
I'm totally
by the
kidding.
Second or third generation, you get, like... Really, really long
Andrew
names.
Doherty Monroe.
Monroe.
Lance, Doherty.
Lance Helgaro Kelly.
Is that his real?
Yeah, it's his real name. Shout out Lance.
I should realize yelling out people's like full legal names.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Social security numbers. Yeah. Everything.
Got it all.
Appease the fans.
So this is the part of the show where I transition to a sort of... educational topic, a public service announcement on Tufts Educational Radio. I mean, this stuff's great. We keep the public healthy, keep their minds full of information. It's just a great, tasty part of the show. Okay. Grill safety PSA. Summer is a super time to cook so many tasty kinds of food, including vegetables, on an outdoor barbecue. But some of the worst fires ever in Somerville and Medford, as well as other urban areas, have been caused by grills left unattended on porches. Always move a grill at least 10 feet away from any building before lighting it. Don't even think about using it on a porch, and never, ever, ever leave a lit or smoldering grill unattended. Okay, I've seen people use grills on porches. Am I right? Is that a thing?
I definitely use mine on the porch.
Don't even think about it.
Never again. we're moving it way further away from the house. We're going to make it really inaccessible.
Put it on the roof. Don't put it on the roof. Do not put the grill on the roof.
Not only that, but if you observe smoke coming from a porch or building, call 911. If you see people grilling on a porch, call the fire department.
There's an imminent risk.
Imagine if we lived in that world. You know? You're not being a cranky neighbor. You're a concerned citizen. a public service message from the firefighters of Somerville and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. We're firefighters. I mean, I'm talking about, we're just out to help people not burn their house down, you know? We're just good Samaritans. Anyway, that was a selection from the book. Anyway, I would like to talk a little bit about a subject that's been eating away at our minds lately. Yes, I'm talking about...
What are we talking about?
Let's see if any of you can get it.
I don't even think you have one yet. I think you're just waiting for us to say a good
McDermott.
One.
McDermott, can you guess what topic I have in mind?
Robots.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
In the future. To recap, last time we discussed this, James and Jerf and I are very certain that in the future we will have robots to do everything for us.
Several robots.
Several, because no one robot can do everything. You'll need at least two robots.
More than one robot will be necessary.
I think you could probably get one robot to do a lot of things.
But you need two.
I can't wait for that, man. That's in like 4 years.
No. At least 4 years.
5 years.
At least 4 years.
I guess it depends on what you consider to be multiple robots. If you have one AI running a bunch of different physical robots, could that be considered one robot?
If there's any way they could fight each other, they'd have to be multiple robots.
All right, just like straight up like a humanoid robot that cleans your house. People will have that stuff.
Do you think we gotta stray away from the humanoid robots?
Yeah, but I agree.
I think we can make everything like really, really customized for a specific task.
It's always going to be a little bit off, you know? I mean, I guess like to some point it'll get like really, really good and it will look like an actual person and you won't know, basically.
And then we'll have Westworld.
But it's always going to be a little bit off, you know?
Wouldn't Westworld be amazing? Be fun.
Incredible. Would you do it?
Yes.
Yes. I would do it. Anyway. Have you seen these robots at Boston Dynamics?
Oh my god. Oh, I gotta step in the ring on this one.
These ones that jump?
They are crazy.
Unbelievable.
Every time this thing, they come out, they test them. They have to test and see if they don't fall over, right? They got people kicking them. Just trying. They got this robot on little ice, like on the ice in his little booties, and it's like carrying a box. It just wants to move a box across the side of this parking lot. These people are trying to see if they can knock it over. They're going there. They're kicking. Every time I watch the video, I'm about to scream, like, don't kick that. You don't want to piss that thing off.
And it's like, I'm getting smarter.
I'm smarter. More smarter than you. And this thing is like 400 pounds. I just saw it walk up a hill with like a bag on its back. They have one in camouflage. Like, these things don't mess around. And people are kicking them and they think that's a good idea.
What if one day one of these like super advanced robots literally just like killed a bunch of people?
And it's like, oh no.
That would be
people
like,
would yeah, go wild. They were like, we are about to die.
Dude, like AI, every scenario that we hear about these AI, like monsters like killing everybody, it's always, we either get AI that's super helpful forever, or we get AI that's like kills all of humanity at once. It's never like you get one crazy robot at a time, you know? Like if we had one Boston Dynamics robot that just went crazy and killed a few people and then we like cut it in half or something, like... People would be like, what do we do? Do we stop doing technology stuff now? Do we just have to be really careful, like, of robots? Or, like...
You gotta keep up with AI.
We'd have to keep up with AI.
No, you gotta go Amish.
Elon Musk.
Everyone goes, like, Amish, but for, like, 2000. Like,
yeah.
Do you guys know that there's, like, a set... You know there's, like, a set date, Brian, for Amish people, right?
A what?
The Amish were, like, actually scared about this and technology going too far.
Okay.
And so they said anything made before 15 whatever is kosher, basically. And everything else you can't do. But, like, what if the Amish sort of had the right idea, but they just happened to pick a year that was too early? Like, what if you only use stuff that was, like, earlier than, like, 2010?
That's really interesting, yeah.
Like, or, like, early, like, 90s stuff?
But then again, you have to think, like, even current technology, like... Even in, like, a completely harmless direction, you could make advancements.
Yeah.
You could make, like, memories faster.
But, like, what if in, like, What if like we figure out there's a best year of technology? Like I'm not saying we passed it, but like maybe in a few years it's like we don't want nanobots. Like we just want, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want nanobots? Why is that the line?
Dude, nanobots.
You can do a bunch of crazy.
Dude, nanobots are crazy. You can have theoretically, it's like a crazy space weapon thing. You can have these nanobots that all they do is just disassemble matter and just make more nano. All they know how to do is disassemble matter and make more nanobots.
Oh yeah.
And so it's just like this like plague that just destroys everything it touches. And they're like too small, and you can't touch them with anything. It's just like a theoretical thing.
Yeah,
like,
you
probably wouldn't want that, right?
The ultimate war machine, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's like some Marvel stuff, right?
That's unbelievable.
Some GI Joe stuff, you know, the nanomites.
Yeah.
Like you can't just get big guns and beat that.
No, it's nothing.
There's no way,
nothing,
man.
Yeah.
Nothing can beat that.
Have you guys ever seen that show Revolution?
No,
it was a really corny show. It came out a while ago, but it was about a similar concept, except they would eat energy. They would all take an energy and then like reproduce, and so there was no more, like you couldn't use any more electricity on Earth.
Damn.
Just like it was a really like corny idea, and it didn't really make much sense, but like concept was interesting.
That's really interesting.
I think we might have to draw a line somewhere where it's like, don't explore this technology any further. This is actually dangerous stuff. Agreed?
Yeah, agreed.
I think there are certain...
Like you can't build a nuke in your basement or anything.
Yeah, there are definitely certain limitations that need to be in place for sure, but I think that there's a lot of technology that I think we should just go for.
Nuclear weapons are going to be so readily available. It's going to be, you know.
We're going to have sick anti-ballistic missile systems.
We're going to have to really prepare for that.
Brought to you by your boy.
Your boy, yeah.
Just like one person in their basement making a nuclear bomb, you know?
Yeah.
Or like bioweapons.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Like engineer new Ebola, send it out in the U.S. You're some terrorist. Anthrax, all that stuff.
Things we have to deal with. It gets worse every year. Anyway, you've been listening to 91.5 WMFO, Anything Is Possible Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go home. And yeah, we enjoyed spending some time with you today to talk about some important topics. And yeah. Thanks a lot.
It's been real.
In fact, there's only one way to get it.
It has to be given to you, freely.
It's consent.
Because sex without it isn't sex.
It's rape. Consent.
If you don't get it, you don't get it.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.